Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 34, the last chapter of the five books of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south of and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand and in the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. How do you replace a man like Moses? How do you do it? Well, really you don't. You remember him, but you don't replace him. And think of the it would be almost impossible to exaggerate the giant figure Moses leading the people of Israel, meeting God face to face, trembling at the base of the mount, breaking the tablets of the commands, commanding Israel, standing there and watching as the fire came out from before the Lord and devoured Korah and his company, saying to the people, if these men go the way of all the earth, then the Lord has not spoken by me. But if the Lord do a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them live, then know that a prophet has been among you. And what happened? You remember. Dathan and Abiram and all of theirs were consumed by the rift that opened up in the ground. The man who stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go, has now died. We believe that Deuteronomy 34 was probably written by Joshua and appended to chapter 33. Still under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and yet as a loving appendix from his protege and successor. But even a man as giant as Moses must go the way of all flesh. And so Moses dies. Remember where he died, first of all. Remember that he died in the plains of Moab, and that he never reached that land of promise. that although he led the people faithfully for 40 years, that he never reached the land of promise, but was buried, if you will, outside his home. Why? Do you remember why? Because of a moment's frustration and indiscretion. A moment's frustration and indiscretion. But don't weep for Moses, because Moses did not weep for himself. For every affliction and every deprivation and everything about which the Lord tells us no is for our good and for His glory. And so don't weep for Moses. Don't feel sorry for him, because Moses did not feel the least sorry for himself. Notice that the Lord speaks to Moses and he says, I want you to take your last walk up Mount Nebo, up Pisgah. Pisgah is it's a word that means the hill. So up over that rise there. And when you get up there, think of these words. Die. Die there. Not end yourself, obviously, but wait until I take the breath of life from you. Wait until the breath fails in your nostrils. And it says that the Lord buried him. And no man knows the grave of Moses where it is to this day. Oh, I would imagine there are several who have claimed to find it, and that the bones of Moses have been on sale all over the world, able to fill up, you know, many, many, many graveyards worth of bones. I'm sure that's taken place. The Bible tells us that no man knows the grave of Moses. And I think it was Dwight Moody that said that the reason Moses was, that his grave was not made known is because the people would have made an idol out of it. Well, maybe that's true or maybe that's not. Why did Moses die in Pisgah? We know what the Lord says. He died in Pisgah because of a moment's indiscretion when he refused to sanctify the Lord in the eyes of the people as the teacher and leader of the people, and instead got himself at the fore instead of the Lord and did not sanctify the Lord and struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And the Lord said, you will not lead this people into the land of promise. Notice also that the passage is very clear that when Moses was 120 years old when he died, that his eye was not dimmed, neither was his natural force abated. In other words, he died not because he was falling apart. He died because the children of Israel were going into the land of promise and he could not. And so the Lord says, it's time for you now to die. It was not because his body was ravaged and racked with disease and we could blame it on any other ancillary thing. He died according to the purposes of the Lord, that he would not lead the people into the land of promise. Then, I think these words are rightly and fittingly written by Joshua himself. First of all, he speaks of the succession. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon them, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And so if you obeyed Joshua, you obeyed Moses, because in that succession plan, those faithful teachers that follow on after those other faithful teachers were all working for the same Lord. And so, again, to obey Joshua was to obey Moses, because Moses spoke the word of the Lord as well as Joshua. Then we read these great comments by Joshua concerning Moses, where he says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. That's true. That's absolutely true. Except the one about which Moses himself prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 18, which is verified for us twice in the New Testament in the book of Acts, where Moses said, the Lord will raise up a prophet unto you, that he is
He's like me. He's like unto me. And what did Moses mean by that? I think Joshua sheds some light on that here in verse 10, where he says, whom the Lord knew face to face. Peh, lepeh in the Hebrew. Face to face. Remember in Numbers chapter 12? It's one of my favorite passages. Moses, the meekest man upon the face of the earth, is insulted by his sister and his brother because he's married an Ethiopian woman. And it says, and the Lord heard it. Moses wouldn't take up for himself. He's the meekest man on the face of the earth. But the Lord heard it. And so the Lord says, you three, to the tabernacle. Now, woodshed time. And so here they come. And the Lord says to Miriam and to Aaron, if I speak to a prophet, I'll speak to him in a dream, in a dark saying, in some kind of prophecy, in some kind of a trance, in some sort of what the Greek terms as ecstaso, an ecstatic kind of situation. Not so with my servant Moses. Him will I speak peh lepeh, face to face, mouth to mouth, as a man speaks with his friend. Because I have that kind of relationship with Moses, why were you not afraid to speak against him? And so then Joshua picks up on that very chapter and says, there was no other prophet like Moses except the great Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells us that for all of eternity, the Word and the Father were peh lepeh, pros ton theon, that they were face to face for all of eternity. And so Moses evinces himself then here as a type of Jesus Christ. And there's other things that Moses did that distinguish him as a prophet. Notice what Joshua says. In all that mighty hand and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. So by the wonderful signs that Moses did, he was distinguished as a particularly unique prophet in Israel. But once again, all of that simply to point forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. So thus we bring then the five sermons of Moses on the plains of Moab to ready the children of Israel for their descent into the land of promise from the heights of Jordan down over across the river and inserting into Jericho. And now we begin the great adventure of conquering the land under Joshua. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, in Joshua chapter 1. Let's stand and pray.